like a pillow. The sublady offers me her air mattress. I name it Barry. I place 13 books in 3 stacks against the far wall. Beside them, shirts. Beside them, an open suitcase for socks and underwear. In the corner, a laundry sack. I vow one act daily to mitigate the flop house vibe. Enjoy a good sit. Day 2. Buy Barry a sheet. Day 3. Plug in junior high clock radio. It's not home. I slept 9 hours last night and made breakfast in the morning. Word for dilemma, I think. Pretty fancy. I've adopted a devil-may-care financial attitude. Debt, in the service of poetry, is badass. But yesterday, a job prospect arrived. After failed pizza joint applications in Toronto, 31 Yukon government bucks an hour sounded good. Good enough to truncate my literary sabbatical? Question mark. I went to an open mic that night. The weather was shitty and so was I. I was not a badass wordsmith, but a pragmatist, considering the job as I performed. Today I made calls, texted friends, sought perspective. As I did, I composed this poem in my mind. I couldn't help it. As planned. I'm a poet, goddammit. Let bureaucrats quake at my sight.
You are listening to a collaboration of poetry and music performed by Jickling House. The group features Peter Jickling reading his unique style of poetry and is backed by improvised music from local trio Jenny House.
Here's one for the ladies. It's called Lonely Emoji. The red balloon emoji supposedly connotes celebration. And a bunch suggests a party. But isolate one. Its forlorn cheerfulness can break your heart. Is called Fitting Things Together. As a kid, I played Tetris, stacking falling blocks, leaving one column empty, anticipating a straight block, receiving a straight block, steering it, flipping it, and filling the empty column. Does everyone know what Tetris is? It's the old computer game, old Nintendo game. Now I visit Kim and Graham's house on Wednesday, bringing my laundry, loading the washer, watching a television episode, loading the dryer, watching another, collecting my clothes, bidding farewell, going home. The quest for order morphs, but endures. but sound, cuffs worn like oft-folded paper, lining shining. Its wearer implies I'm a scamp, but I can write a poem, compose a song, explain the Russian Revolution. I don it last before grabbing my poetry and walking into the wind. If it doesn't keep me warm, maybe it keeps me brave. Jacket, but it's not. It was a gift. That poem is dedicated to a good friend of mine, Tom Pritchard, who gave me my first yellow corduroy blazer. He's in Ontario now. In Toronto, there's a bar called the Transac. It kind of became a second home for me while I was away from my real home. It's a difficult place to describe without being there, but I tried my best. So this poem is called Transac. The Transac is the Toronto, Australia, New Zealand club, though Aussies and Kiwis are rare. It's a boxy two-story affair at Bloor and Brunswick, a music hall divided into three venues. The Transac has all gender bathrooms. It has a chocolate almond dispenser that takes loonies and a peanut dispenser that takes quarters. It has 10 beers on tap, experimental jazz, and a Kubrickian room with burgundy drapes, 8 feet tall, and old chairs, ornate and haunted. It has hippies, Saturday jams, and monthly shows by Vivian Wilder. It has budget deficits, bulletin boards, and Rumpus Room Thursdays. It has family-like employees and volunteers. A poster of Australian war heroes. And a heck of a New Year's party. It has free shirts for staff, a membership recognition plaque begun and abandoned in 2011, and collapsible blue chairs. It has free rehearsal space, queer raves, and few security problems. I'm the security guy. I guard the entrance and say smoke over there if I feel like it. First timers ask, what is the Transac anyway? It's a non-profit organization, I say. That's true, but insufficient. Like describing Charles Manson as American. I should say, it's a state of mind. Ethereal, despite its concrete. Thank you. Is called Don't Tell Me What the Poets Are Doing. I wrote it for Gord Downie. Don't tell me about the dusty day for night tape in the family station wagon, or driving with Mike, drinking triple triples, belting New Orleans Is Sinking, or spending days compiling a mixed CD, then ruining it with a ballpoint pen. Don't tell me about never making it big in the States, or hearing locked in the trunk of a car in a Portuguese youth hostel, or my second concert ever in Lethbridge, Alberta. Tell me about brain cancer, or traveling through Kingston the day I heard, or one final tour. Don't tell me about Catherine getting me a ticket for Vancouver, or First Nations activism, or graphic novels. Don't tell me about huddling in the Beringia Center for the final concert, nationally televised. Don't tell me about Grace 2. Don't tell me about that Jaws shirt. Don't tell me about dying, or death, or reading lyrics off a teleprompter. And whatever you do, don't tell me about courage. Swallowed. I wrote it for a good friend of mine. I danced until farting while she laughed until snorting. I pinned her under my girth while she yelled, "Not the pork chop," my finishing move. Once she nearly choked me out. We had a contentious relationship. We searched the Chateau Laurier for ghosts and staggered the Scottish Highlands for kicks. I called her retarded, she called me crippled. Tonight, swallows pills and wine and is medically restrained. I sit, attempting the correct emotions in the correct proportion. You thought that was going to be a funny one, eh? This one is called Cerebral Palsy Blues. Make them watch you play minor hockey. You will be unable to raise the puck. Your ankle will cave in. You will never turn left. Make them watch you open a door while carrying coffee. You will transfer coffee between hands. You will spill on your shirt. It's not a stain. It's a badge. Make them watch the dog bark because you walk funny. Make them watch you fork stab your steak and clutch it white knuckled. Will the plate fall as it skids back and forth? Make them watch you bartend in a Gold Rush saloon. You will save time by free pouring. They will appreciate you. Make them sign you up for the hardest leg in the road relay. They will cry from the support vehicle. Make them look at the worst wrapping under the tree. Make them watch you wander Montreal in psychosis, hooked and limping. They will call the cops. Make them hike with you in Scotland. They will lose you on the descent. They will hike back for your body. You will be alive. Make them watch you bike home with a case of beer under your arm. Make them watch you tie your shoe. Your left hand will snap at loose strings like a baby robin. It will take 2 minutes. It will come undone later that afternoon. Make them watch you eat shit. They will not watch unless forced. Force them. Or don't.
You have been listening to poetry read by Peter Jickling, sonically framed by the trio Jenny House. We recorded this live performance on the deck of the Village Bakery in Haines Junction, Yukon on August 20th, 2021. We thank the Village Bakery for all their support in making live music possible during these difficult and uncertain times. The show was written and produced by Dieter Gade, audio production by Scott Maynard, our script editor is Megan Robinson, and I am R.P. Singh. Not ready yet for the music to end? Enjoy entertainment at your fingertips by visiting our website, junctionjam.ca. There you will find more than 150 hours of live recordings. Bye for now, and as always, thanks for listening.